Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy, what did we like today?
Well, we came across a guy that's taken the Britain's most popular car, the Cosy Tyke, and turned it into a roadworthy vehicle.
He has, that's right.
We had a bit of a chat, then we talked about magnet fishing.
Yeah, and you know, not really a sport, but kind of.
And Martin Kellner with his week of sport on TV, on good form, is it?
He certainly was. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I love the story. I'll talk about last night in the cricket in a sec, but I love this story this morning of the 9-year-old boy, Riley Stancombe, who grew his hair very, very long and has now had it cut and in a lovely way has donated his hair for wigs for children who are suffering from cancer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really nice story. Mm. But his mum said, talking about his hair, she said, he was a bit inspired by Gareth Bale with a long hair. So I was thinking, do you pay him to stay at home and not go to school? Like, pay him an absolute fortune.
Yeah, it could be.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Last night, I started off watching the cricket. Mm. I thought I was actually going to explode when Rizwan, the excellent wicketkeeper, took a catch off Joe Root.
You rarely see that these days, do you?
See, that's what happens when you've got a wicketkeeper who can actually keep wicket.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And it's amazing that England have been absolutely slaughtered in the press today. And I was sitting at home watching. I do apologise. I did get a bit put off. It's different here because the screen's quite small. But I'm sitting at home in front of a big telly.
Well, we were chatting to Mike Pieri about the Olympiacos game against Wolves. And I'd asked a couple of questions. Yeah. And I thought, well, I've got to let Andy in. And I looked at him and thousand-yard stare I got. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm watching the cricket. Sorry to interrupt your cricket watching, mate. Great, isn't it?
Finish. It's just so frustrating because I've seen these quick single, and you're thinking, oh, Root, really, you're a fine cricketer, but you're never going to be a captain in a million years. I'm sorry, he's not any better. You're going, I mean, even as a sort of like Middlesex Division 4 captain, you go, bring the field in. Stop the single. Then, mate, if they want to get runs, they've got to go for it. They've got to go over the top or something like that.
Then he brought himself and Bess on, didn't he, early in the afternoon? And, Anderson and Broad had a bit of success earlier on in Bowl.
Let's not take anything away from Pakistan. They're a really fine cricket team now. I think they're right up there with Australia. They've got a lovely, balanced team. They've got interesting bowlers, very good batters. But, this game should have been really exciting. I think England maybe will make 200 here or something like that. That's what they should have got.
Yeah.
You know, Butler's mistake cost 110 runs. And not just the 110 runs, but everybody batted. It was a wonderful innings. Once he'd been dropped on 45 and missed stumping on 45, he went on to play brilliantly for the next 110 runs. Let's not take that away from him. It was a wonderful innings. But it should never, ever have happened. And then you just think the way the selectors are, it's just the whole thing is so wrong about English cricket. It could be, you know, when you think about how much the ECB spent, central contract, I'd ask for me money back. Honestly, what's the point? When you look at, Pakistan, they're doing it so difficult for them. They can't even play at home. They've only just started again. You think, come on now. You know, you're so
you're saying they're pampered, Andy, and they should be putting in better performances.
I just thought it was things that could be avoided. You know, if a team's better than you, that's fine. That happens. But the way that things England did and the way they played was pretty poor in that, and now they're up against it.
Well, you can look forward to the football instead tonight. I think we're all looking forward to that. Should be an absolute cracker.
I want to talk about last night.
Last night, I really enjoyed that as well. Yeah, very good.
I did, but that goal that was disallowed for offside, I mean, that was another armpit one. And, I mean, Arsene Wenger's looking at this. But, I mean, it is so
not quickly enough, because next season it will be under the UEFA rules,
Peter
as
Walton
we know.
Explained it. He said it's the new shoulder rule. And you look at it and you think, are you stupid? The problem at the moment with football is the people who are deciding the rules and the rules, they come from a wrong background. They come from a refereeing background. They don't. They'll say they love football. My contention is they don't love football, because if they love football, they'd come up with a way that favoured the attacker. The 34 goals were ruled out by VAR for offside. About a vast majority of them were like these really tight things. You know, what's the point of that? And, you know, basically, the solution, I've got a friend who's sort of, you know, very interested in refereeing, very interested in all matters of this, of officialdom. And I said to him, what would your solution be? And he said, my solution would be to have the thick blue and red lines, as the TV shows. But if the red and blue lines are touching, then the benefit goes to the attacking team. That would get rid of all the 2 centimetre disallowed offside goals. Because I said to him, what does a linesman look for in when you know, are you looking at the feet? Because the problem with that one last night was, his feet and his head were onside.
Yeah.
So by any reason that is onside, how many goals are scored with your shoulder?
Yeah.
I can't even remember one. You know, it's pathetic. And so therefore, you know, we're stuck with this. And it's such a shame, because these people, basically, I don't know if their role is to ruin football. I don't know what their role is.
Probably not. But it wasn't on their CV.
It's not
when they applied for
helping.
The job.
It really
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Well, ideally, ruining football. Okay, well, when can you start then?
It's so
he poor. Knows he knows his stuff, your mate, doesn't he?
Well, he does.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. There, the news from Joe that salary caps have been agreed in the EFL. 2.5 million wage bill maximum per clubs in League One, 1.5 million in League Two, including image rights and agents fees.
Yeah. So if Gareth Bale went to a League One club, nobody else could be paid. Fantastic.
Imagine Blow. That would be the worst. What a terrible thing to do. To just do all the budget. Do all the budget on Gareth Bale and just hope for the best. Put out kids around him.
It sounds sensible on the
face. It does. I think, you know, a lot of the owners have been pushing for it. So, yeah, there we are. More on that, I'm sure, a little bit later.
Might cause a few problems within dressing rooms, though, mightn't it? If you've got an overall thing and then X is getting more than Y and, you know, all that sort of.
Well, I think that goes on in a
Premier League. Won't go on every anyway.
Andros Townsend say this week that Eric Lamela was on 70 grand and he was on 5 grand and he was getting in the team ahead of him.
I know.
So, you know.
Good value, isn't he, old Eric?
Oh, yeah. Certainly paid out if you amortise it over the 22 years he appears to have been at Tottenham and still hasn't quite got to grips with it, the Premier League. Anyway, there was Frank Warren said earlier on he saw Derek Chisora driving about in the West End of London in a smart car.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting combo. He's a big man, Derek, isn't he?
He is, but it's a very useful car.
Yeah, but, you know, a small, big man, small vehicle.
Yeah.
Which leads us on to our next guest, because I'm sure your kids, or maybe even you, if you're young enough, add one of the little Tykes cosy coupes, the little red and yellow kids' cars, always a joy. Well, Paul Redshaw is an engineer and a car restorer, and he's always fancied making a road-legal version of the little Tykes cosy coupe. Mm. And he's now done it. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello.
Yeah, well, that weird. It's a beautiful thing. I'm looking at a picture of you now, much like Derek Chisora in a smart car.
Yeah.
You are, I mean, we should say that it's the actual cosy coupe part of the car is sort of then put on to a frame, isn't it? It's not like you've added wheels and an engine to that, because there literally would be no room for you and that, would there?
No, I did try and fit in a cosy coupe once, and it didn't end well. it's a complete scratch-built chassis that I've made.
What sort of engine has it got on it? How fast can it go?
It's a Honda engine, the sort of Honda engine you see on pretty much any sort of piece of small equipment, generators and stuff. It actually came from a small road sweeper.
Okay.
It's 9 horsepower, and it will do about 20, 25 mile an hour at the minute.
I bet that feels quite fun, and you just about fit in the sort of red and yellow bit.
Yes.
Your head's popping out the top.
Yeah. It's actually two of those cars cut and joined together to make it bigger.
Cut and shut, is it? Cut and shut, dear me. That's very poor. The steering wheel, though, which is lovely, you've kept the same size. You've kept the original size. You've got this tiny, it's kind of getting lost in your hands, isn't it?
Yes, it's the original one off the car, and the little squeaky horn still works as well.
Oh, fantastic. So have you taken it out on the road? Have you had a little drive around on it?
I have around my estate where I live, because it's a private road. But I've not been on the public road, because I spent a lot of time trying to find a way, exploring loopholes and whatever, to try and get it road registered.
Right.
But I just kind of find a way to do it anywhere remotely legally. So,
no. Would you have to? You'd probably have to put seatbelts on it, wouldn't you, and things like that, wouldn't you, I would imagine?
There's so many things that would have to be done. I'd have to entirely rebuild the thing or start again. So
right.
I sort of gave up on that idea in the end.
Why did you do it?
Yes. Good question.
A bit of fun. For many years, I've taken my kids camping to a car show, the Retro Rides Gathering, which is now held at Shelsley Walsh Hillcline.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's grown from that show is campsite transportation. People take odd little buggies and garden tractors or whatever to drive around the campsite and travel to the toilets and back and whatever else. I took an old lawnmower one year just to drive around.
Right.
And we'd been torn with ideas, and one day my daughter sent me a picture of an original little cosy coupe that somebody had put a fake engine on the front of, some go-kart wheels, and pushed the kid around in it, which a few people do. She asked me if I could build one of them. And I said, yes, but I want to be able to drive it. So I instantly made the project more difficult for myself and went from there, really.
Lovely. I'm sure even on your estate, it's turning a few heads, isn't it? All people know what you're... They're expecting you to drive around in daft contraptions, are they, if your neighbours...
Well, yeah, some of the neighbours are a bit more aware of what I'm like anyway. Mm. The most conventional of people at the best of times. Wherever I take it, car shows, steam rallies, anything like that, any sort of show, there's always a crowd around it.
Yeah, fantastic.
Is this your profession? Because you restore old diesels and all sorts of things. Is this what you do for a living?
I run a small engineering business with my father, predominantly restoring and repairing vintage diesel engines for the narrowboat industry.
Okay, good stuff.
Interesting.
Well, look, people can go and
sideline.
People can go and check this out. Have you got any other plans? I mean, there are other things that they do in the old little Tykes range. They do a log cabin, and we've spoken to a bloke before who can make a shed go 90 mile an hour. So,
yeah,
I think if you could put an engine on the log cabin, that might be quite nice.
I have got an idea for the next project.
Oh.
It's going to be on a slightly bigger scale. It's going to be I've already got an old ride-on tractor mower, which I'm going to try and fit a CBR 600 motorbike engine in it.
Oh, okay. Well, look,
that will be road registered.
We look forward to it. Thank you very much, Paul. All the best. People should go and check this on. It's on YouTube, and it's all online. It's Paul driving around in his little cosy coupe. Sensational. Well done to him. I'm going to get you
British
one,
inventor.
Andy. I mean, you're small enough. You'd be all right. I'll just get you one of them as a way to get into work.
I need an extension for my bowling ball stomach now. I don't think you fit in.
A bit of a head turner for you, isn't it?
That's nice, isn't it? I can't wait. Nice. I love these. I always enjoy a waste of ink to the tabloid press when it's just basically a statement of facts and it doesn't add anything. This is a classic, from John Wilson in Leighton in East London. Wrote to the Sun today. He said, Arsenal are planning to make 55 staff redundant due to the impact of the pandemic whilst paying Mesut Ozil $350,000 a week.
Yeah.
And Ozil didn't play a single minute after the restart. Yeah, thanks very much for adding nothing. What's the point? We all know that. It's not even an opinion. That's just a statement.
Andy, there was a film emerged today, or certainly a still emerged today. I don't know if this is from last night. It was online, and it's of Adama Traore being greased down on the arms. He's having baby lotion rubbed into his arms to stop people defenders grabbing him and pulling him back. So look at that. There's one of the physios at Wolves rubbing the old baby oil into the arms to make sure that he can't be pulled back by defenders. That's clever, isn't it?
Yeah, very clever.
I've not seen that before.
What happened to him last night? Did he get subbed? Because the thing is, I was trying to watch. Were you watching replays
of the cricket?
No, I was trying to watch the Wolves game and the golf. The golf was very exciting. We're going to talk about that later. So, I'll tell you what was mad in the game last night. Podenza hit on two yellows before the game and then gets a third for walking off at the wrong part of the pitch right at the end, you think, and then misses the next game.
I know.
What a donut. He obviously didn't realise he was on two yellows. I don't know.
Worry, didn't you, that... Is it Tuesday they play now against Sevilla? It's just a game too far. That'll be a tough game.
They've got a great record in this tournament. That was a tough game last night,
and that'll be tough on you. You wonder if it might be a bit leggy Tuesday.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to write Wolves
no,
off.
No, no, but they've done brilliantly well to get this far. But we'll see. Anyway, we're going to be looking at City against Real Madrid this evening. No Sergio Ramos, which is a shame because you do love his particular brand of S-housery, especially in a big match. You can't beat his body exponent. Has ever a man got away with body checks the way he has? It's almost like referees don't spot it.
It was great when it was him and Pepe. For me was the finest actor ever to take to a football field. Really? Honestly, Rada trained the way he can fall and the way he can make out.
He was in the bill actually, and Casualty, Pepe. If you look out for him.
Yeah, in the programme.
Yeah.
Like you go to the theatre and
other things he'd done, the bill and Casualty, he was in both.
Holby as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Oh, here we go.
Anyway, we were going to have a chat with John Norman in a moment, but I think we're going to be doing that sooner rather than later because we are heading back to Old Trafford where John, sadly, from England's point of view, another wicket has fallen.
Yeah, absolutely. Dominic Best has just been done by Yasir Shah. What Best has the score now, 161 for 7. He's been caught by a flying first slip. What Best was trying to do was trying to stifle the spin. He was essentially trying to play the shot that Joss Butler was trying to play that saw him dismiss, getting back well in front of pad, no gap whatsoever. So all Yasir Shah's doing, realising how Bess is going to be playing, he's not going for the bold or the LBW, he's going for the outside edge, and that's what he's got. Good catch by Asad Shafiq, but this is going horribly wrong now for England, who just about got through that first session, Ollie Pope the only dismissal, but Pakistan look threatening with every single bowler, and what they've got and what England don't have is variety in their attack. And it just means if there's a little bit of a slow period, if the ball's not doing so much, if a bowler's off form or a bit tired, the captain Azhar Ali has got plenty of options. He's got in Shadab Khan a number 7 who is a bowling all-rounder. He hasn't even bowled yet. So we haven't even seen all the tricks that Pakistan have in up their sleeve. Brilliant from Pakistan, less so from England, 161 for 7.
This is an embarrassment, isn't it, for England, this? I mean, you think how well-resourced English cricket is and how difficult it's been for Pakistan. And Pakistan are a wonderful team, but, you know, it's. I find this incredibly embarrassing. And there needs to be changes in England. We can't keep going on with the way we perform. You know, one test we're useless, and the next test we're all right. And then, you know, the captaincy isn't good enough. The wicketkeeper should be a proper wicketkeeper. The bowling doesn't have enough variation, as you've just said. There's so much wrong with it. And I just can't see how this can continue in the way that it is.
The other thing, of course, and this is an area that I thought England would play to England's strengths, is that they've just come off the back of three test matches. They should be absolutely on it. Okay, a little bit of tiredness, possibly. But Pakistan haven't played a test match in the best part of 7 months. And yet it looks like it's Pakistan who've come in match ready and not England. Look, credit...
It's a better team, isn't it? It's a better selected team. It's a better balanced team, you know?
It is on this showing. But, you know, Pakistan's batting is brittle. Shadab Khan is not a number 7. The fact that... it goes back... I'm sorry to harbour on about this. You've made mention of it. You've got to take your chances. If Shah Masood's dismissed for 45, Pakistan doesn't score 200 plays 200, isn't it? England, if Pakistan score 225, 250, England at 164 for 7, still in this match.
Yeah. And you haven't got that scoreboard pressure as well. You're not chasing.
But we've seen
the
a week.
Total.
I was just saying to Paul in the break, there's a certain irony in the fact that that catch off Butler was caught off an inside edge, a very difficult catch, unless you're a proper wicketkeeper. And so we've seen two great wicketkeeping catches off spin. Contrasting to Butler, it's just not necessary. It's just, you know. There's no sense to it. It's really frustrating, but there you go.
John, we'll get back to you later. Thanks very much. John Norman, the cricket correspondent. But, England, got a lot of work to do.
Mm.
Anyway, Andy, what else do you want to talk about?
What else have I got here? Yes, it's quite interesting. There was a very interesting report this morning about sniffer dogs being trained to sniff out, like medical detection dogs that can sniff out various serious diseases. And they're thinking that they're could be able to sniff out COVID-19, which would
have been testing.
They've been testing it,
and it's been working.
And it's been working, but obviously, like all this testing, it needs to be expanded. And it's only in the very early stages. But it could be a game changer. You can imagine, because we walked past the dogs when you go to football. They're sniffing for drugs, they're sniffing for explosives, or whatever they're looking for. So. In airports and things. So this could be, what if I think of some way of getting fans back? It could be something that could happen.
It could be the dogs that make all the difference.
Well, it could be. It would be nice to think it could be, but we'll see. Maybe we'll explore it further later on.
I mean, if it's sniffing out COVID-19, you don't know you got it. You're just wandering up to the match without a care in the world. You're asymptomatic. It'd be a bit of a shock, wouldn't it? It'd be sent home.
Well, yeah, but you'd rather know, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
The
other key is to don't go with a lamb chop in your pocket. Don't go to the football. Because that could really throw them off the scent, couldn't it, literally?
And it's a lamb chop to football.
Well, you have. I've known you put bits of meat in your white jeans in Brazil, but that's another
that's
story.
That's another story. A nice picture of Boris Becker and his girlfriend on their yacht. They're away in Spain.
Blimey. I thought he was bankrupt. He's doing all right with the yacht, isn't he?
Boris, he manages to get by. But it's funny how people go for the same type. Either his two wives, the girlfriend, and cupboard assignations all look the same. They've all got the same type of woman.
He has a type. Clearly.
Well, he does.
He clearly has
it's
a type.
Very clear.
Yeah.
But there you go. A letter today about Summer Montes, Fulham have been promoted.
Yeah.
She's now getting letters written about her. And it says, Anne wrote to the Daily Star, she said, "Is poor Hollywood's ex-girlfriend Summer Montes, Fulham have been promoted?
Not a name.
Famous enough for I'm a Celebrity or Strictly."
What did I say yesterday?
Exactly. Maybe not, but Celebrity MasterChef or Celebs on the Farm, definitely, says Anne.
Yeah. She won't be doing Celebrity Bake Off.
No.
Definitely. Definitely not.
She won't be getting the handshake.
No. We spoke to Jane Couch earlier on, telling us about Suranne Jones buying the rights to her life story. Mm. We read today that Frank Bruno as well, his autobiography, Let Me Be Frank, is being turned into a movie.
Yes.
I mean, boxing is a fairly rich seam, isn't it? It's proved over the years in TV
it makes it good.
And
it's dramatic,
on cinema.
It's a thing. So, sorry to see that Glenn Hoddle has been, they say axe has been dropped.
We're going to talk to Martin about this later, aren't we?
Great pity. We're both big fans of Glenn, and his co-commentary tells you things that you don't necessarily see. So, there you go.
We'll see what Martin makes of that later on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, we talk magnet fishing. Let's head back to Old Trafford, get an update from John Norman. And, the Pakistan wicketkeeper's up in the air. He thinks they've got another wicket. And, look at Jofra there. Is he walking off, John?
Well, he's not smiling. He was smiling a minute ago when Pakistan went for a review for caught behind. And that was shown to be going the way of the batsman, but I think he's walking off now. 197 for 9. I was talking about the leg spinner that we hadn't even seen bowl yet, so successful. The other four Pakistani bowlers, Ben. Well, it's Shadab Khan with the ninth wicket and just getting another delivery to turn from the straight, not even out the rough, really, taking a thin edge, and Rizwan behind the stumps, he's been flawless, has taken the catch. So that's Archer brilliant. Goes for 16, and we're one wicket away from Pakistan batting again with a huge first innings lead. They lead by 129, England 197 for 9.
Could he have an hour with Butler in the nets? How much do you think he'd want?
Honestly, does Ed Smith sit there thinking, what a waste of time having a wicketkeeper that can actually keep wicket?
Look, I mean, the thing is with Butler, he actually batted to his average earlier. He averages about 31, he scored 38. The guy is not a wicketkeeper, essentially. The reason he's in the side, remember, go back 2 years, okay? IPL is taking place in India, and Jos Buttler is opening the batting, I think, for Mumbai Indians. He had been promoting up the order after not scoring a run. He hit 550s in a row at the top of the order in T20 cricket against a white ball. Ed Smith threw him into the test side as a batsman, as a non-wicket-keeping batsman, playing at number seven. They've persevered with him for 2 years. And he isn't the reason that England have struggled over the last 2 years, not the only reason, but that's why he's in the side. Now, of course, we had a perfectly good wicket-keeping batsman at number seven at that time, and his name was Johnny Bairstow. He scored more centuries playing test cricket than Jos Buttler has managed in his entire first-class career.
It's ridiculous.
Now, England have mucked around with Johnny Bairstow. I never thought he'd make it as a number five, but he was perfectly adequate to, as a number six or number seven wicket-keeper batsman. He's been jettisoned. Butler's been persevered with, and questions are going to be asked and have been asked about why that is.
Yeah, well, they were fairly ruthless in the end with Denley. When it comes to it, they make a change.
You say that, but I feel for Buttler because, you know, white ball, he's one of the best players in the world. You know, he doesn't deserve this. Yeah. You know, it's not fair on him. He's just not up to the job. It's clear that he's not up to the job, so why keep picking him? It's hopeless.
John, thank you. Back to you later. John Norman, and you've got folks, you've got the best wicketkeeper of all, really, who can also bat brilliantly.
So. Yes, and certainly can bat test level.
Yes.
You know, he's got something about him, so, yeah.
Let's move on and go magnet fishing, shall we? It's kind of, you know, fairly self-explanatory. It's fishing with magnets, but you don't catch fish. You catch sometimes hand grenades, sometimes old bike frames.
You've got to be a bit careful with this.
Yeah. James Haskell, former England rugby player, is someone who's hooked on... Well, I didn't mean hooked, that's terrible. But he enjoys a bit of magnet fishing, as does our next guest, who's something of an aficionado. Nigel Lamford. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you. Are you a traditional fisher person as well? Do you get down the bank and do a bit of fishing, or is it only magnets that interest you?
Many years ago, I used to do normal fishing, but I like something that's a bit faster moving. I think sitting there waiting for the fish, you could go a whole day and get nothing. But with magnet fishing, you never have that problem.
So what got you into it? When did you first try this?
October 2018.
Oh, blimey, so fairly recently then. And can you remember your first day? What did you catch first day?
Well, the first day I actually went on my own, we got a BMX and sawn-off shotgun.
For goodness sake.
In the key net. It's crazy,
isn't
it?
It's unbelievable what's in there.
Wow. I mean, there's quite a lot of the stuff you find, though. I mean, a sawn-off shotgun, it's probably not been used in the Olympics, has it? I mean, do you have to pass a lot of this stuff on to the police?
Yeah, all guns, explosives have to go to the police. I've now had 21 guns in the past, 18 months.
Wow.
Sawn-offs are quite common. I think I got my fifth one a couple of weeks ago.
And did the police ever get back and say, thanks for that gun, we were looking for that, it was used in a robbery somewhere? Did they ever report back, Nigel? Do you hear what happens with your booty?
No. The thing is, with most of the guns that I've found, they've all been old. I mean, with shotguns, I can't get ballistics from. And because a lot of the guns are so rusty, the chamber would have changed. So even if they could free it off and make it work again, the rifle in the barrel would be different. They wouldn't be able to identify a bullet fired from that and match it to a crime.
I mean, there have been some incidents, haven't there? Quite dangerous incidents. You have to be so careful. Quite a lot of people have brought up grenades and, as we said, mortars. So it's a dangerous business.
It is, yeah. I've had three grenades now. The first one's always the worst because, you've got that little bit of a panic. You don't know what to do with it and things like that. But I think it's like anything. If you're not sure what it is and you think there's a chance it's explosive, put it in a bucket of water and ring the police. Don't take any chance with it. Something that you're not sure about, if it, any resemblance to an explosive, don't play with it. Keep it in a bucket of water because when they're wet, they're a lot better because as they dry out, they become more volatile. So you need to really keep them wet. Just keep everyone away from it and ring the police.
And don't pull the pin.
No.
I was also reading that somebody found some parking meters with money in them. I mean, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
I've still got two of them in my garage that I haven't opened yet, but I have got two that are full of money. They're early 80s parking meters. They're still full. I mean, I've had over a dozen this year. It's amazing in London how many parking meters you find.
Doesn't that belong to the local authority? I mean, are you allowed to keep that and keep the booty from it?
Well, I did actually speak to them and said about it, and they said, well, they're so old now, we're not interested, because they don't use that type of parking meter anymore. Some of them from the 70s, some from the 80s, early 90s, right. And they've got no interest in them.
It's sort of underwater detectorist. I mean, what over the years, have you heard of kind of great finds, very valuable finds?
I don't think anyone's ever found anything really valuable. I mean, there is people that found safes with odd bits of gold in them, but like very minimal, not to the degree of saying, you know, I've hit the jackpot. We find a lot of safes. We find a lot of things like passports, credit cards, silver jewellery, costume jewellery, because the thieves are only interested in gold. They're not interested in anything else. So literally it's back in the safe, toss it off the bridge and off they go.
Right. I mean, the darkest one we mentioned earlier on, was it you, Nigel, who found a severed hand at one point?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well,
yeah,
I'm sure you do. Wow-wee. What a shock.
It wasn't real, but...
it wasn't all good.
No, when I actually lifted that, we had ITV there filming at the time, doing a piece for the news, and the guy was there, and I lifted this heavy weight out, and it was all like wrapped in cling film, and I sort of peeled the cling film back, and there's a finger poking out.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, yeah, that's not good, I'll leave that. So we rung the police. Before we know it, there's police cars everywhere, the road shut off, they're shutting the river off and everything. And then the water authority come down, you know, they were literally going to put airbags around the area to stop anyone going in there. And forensics came down after about 45 minutes. He said it was a prosthetic hand. I'm glad about it, to be honest with you, but it is a shock when you pull back polythene and a finger's there.
Of course.
Wow, yeah. The police aren't particularly keen on magnet fishing, are they? Have they asked you to stop at any point?
Each area is dependent, you see. I mean, some police forces have advised me to give it up. You know, there's not actually a law for, you know, to stop me from doing it. But they say they don't have the time and resources for things. Whereas, in all fairness, in London, the Metropolitan Police have actually thanked us. They're actually really grateful. It's a totally different atmosphere and different areas, different police forces. The attitude is completely different.
Mm, that's interesting.
Would you regard it as a sport, Nigel?
It keeps you fit, I'll say that. I wouldn't say it's a sport. I think, you know, it's like treasure hunting underwater, and I think that's the appeal, because you never know what's coming next, and that's why its popularity has risen so much in the last 12 months even. There's so many people doing it, and I mean, pulling all that rubbish out of the water, it's good for the environment. I mean, we pull out a lot of motorbikes leaking fuel and oil in there, so yeah. It can only be a good thing.
How much do the magnets cost? How much does the kit cost to do it?
I use one called the Beast from Online Magnets. That's £180 for that one.
Right.
It's the dearest magnet you can actually get. But in my opinion, it's the best you can get. I mean, it's got a pull strength of half a ton. That's what it'll actually pull. And there's not much it misses, let's put it that way. Other people can go there to an area with smaller magnets, fish it for 10 hours, and on the first pull, that will start pulling things. It's so heavy, when it goes into the silt, it sinks. And it gets the next layer down, you see, with the lighter magnets, only skim the top.
Right. And finally, have you got a favourite catch? Is there one thing, however quirky, whatever it is, that you'd say is your number one favourite?
Probably my cannonball from the 17th century.
Fantastic.
Do you use a fishing rod with it?
No, you just want a rope on it. You'd need a bit of tension on that. It'd be like landing a great white, wouldn't it?
Blimey, if you've got a cannonball to pick up on a rod, do you use a rod?
I don't know.
Of course you don't.
We just use heavy rope, that, you know, in case the magnet gets stuck, because they do sometimes, and then we use a 2-ton winch or a car to pull it out the water. So, it's good, okay. Strong rope.
Good fair, stuff. Fair very enough, interesting stuff, Nigel. Thanks very much for joining us.
Not a problem. Enjoyed it.
There we are. Nigel Lamford there. We could have fisherman's blues with Nigel Botherway. Then yeah. We could have magnet fisherman's blues with Nigel Lamford, couldn't we? It's picking up after 9 o'clock with Nigel.
We've got to get more people catching
cannonballs. We've got to do that. Yeah. Wow. What about that?
Honestly, I really did think it was a fishing rod. I thought
it's a magnet on them. Because if you think about it, if you've got a rod and you're trying to pick up a cannonball or a parking
yeah, no,
meter,
I see that now.
You
yeah.
imagine, it's a rope.
Probably why I've never done magnet fishing.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
England's innings is finished. Here are the details. Before we speak to Martin Kellner, John Norman.
Yeah, it's not often Andy's laughing as England lose a wicket, but I guess the white flag really being put up at Old Trafford. England bowled out for 219. Jimmy Anderson, it is a bit strange. His favourite shot is the reverse sweep. He's actually quite proficient at it, but it's been his undoing there. LBW should have Khan for seven. So spin accounting for all six wickets to fall today. And England have to bat last on this pitch. So it really, wherever you look, it does not bode well. Brilliance at times from Yasir Shah, a fourfer. But credit must also go in that morning session. Only one wicket fell, but England only added 67 runs to their overnight score. And I tell you what, Nassim Shah, Shaheen Afridi and also Mohammed Abbas will pose more of a threat or get more just reward after brilliant spells earlier today. Right, over to England's bowlers. What can they do? England bowled out 219.
I was laughing because the lead is 107. So if you take out the 110 runs Butler cost, would have been a lead of three. Would have been quite a good test match, this.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Well played.
Thank you, John. Back to you later on. Martin Kellner joins us. Squad number nine. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. I get the impression that Andy's not keen on Joss Butler.
He's not a massive fan at the moment.
Fan of his one-day play. I think he's one of the best in the world, but not as a test player. Mm.
Yeah, but that's kind of not his fault. Selectors keep picking him. Yep. Martin, before we start, we mentioned earlier on, the news has emerged that Glenn Hoddle's been axed, as they say in the papers, they act as co-commentator for ITV's England games. I know he gets a lot of heat, but I love the fella as well. He's one of my heroes. Yes. But I think he's a very, very good pundit. He tells me things I don't know and I can't see when he's watching football matches.
He's not Stephen Fry, the way he articulates things, but he does know the game.
He tells you things you don't know. Surely you want that from an expert summariser, don't you? A pundit.
Yeah, absolutely. I've not heard that news, but I'm with you 100%. I think he's really good. I don't know who they're going to replace him with.
Lee Dixon, who does do games.
Lee's
very good, but it just seems a shame when you've got some. I mean, I'll take it Glenn will still do BT Sport. He just won't be doing ITV, but it does seem a shame, really.
Yeah, and the good thing about Glenn is he's not got on Twitter with a huge video, speaking down the barrel of the camera to tell you how scandalous it is. It's interesting you're talking about the cricket because one of the programmes I watched this week was The Edge, which I know you've
marvelous.
Seen it.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant show.
Film, isn't it? It's very, very good. Yeah, yeah.
It's very good. It's very literate. And obviously, if you've not seen it, well worth seeing if you're at all interested in cricket. It's basically, it charts England's rise when they were bottom of the world in 2009, right up to the top of the world, which I suspect they're not today.
And the pressure.
That's what's interesting.
Yeah, the pressure.
About
Jonathan
it.
Trott, especially those interviews with Trott and how it affected him, the pressure of playing the game and the travel and it's tough watch, isn't it, at times?
The way they sum it all up, it's brutal, intense, exposing your demons. It's about having all the time in the world till the moment it matters, then you've got half a second.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's summed up cricket much better than that.
No, it's good.
It describes the climb as a sweat-fueled, tear-soaked, life-changing climb, which I believe Pepsi Cola did take as a swim. It's a callback there, to last week. Just before I leave the lives and deaths of Sonny Liston, which I did mention, the program's called Pariah, and I've been pointing people in the direction of this. It's on Sky, and you can watch it on Sky's sort of catch-up thing. There was just one bit that really amused me, because it's a Greek tragedy, and it's, you know, you always knew it was going to end something like that for Sonny Liston. And it was in his latter days when he was hanging around West Side, Las Vegas, really, really crime-ridden area, dealing drugs. And they were talking about the crime and the level of crime there. And the bar that he used to deal drugs from, in that one bar alone, there were 16 murders in one year. Oh, and what amused me was the name of the bar. It was called Friendly's.
Sorry.
You couldn't make it up. You could not make it up, could you?
That's incredible, is it? So what else have we watched this week, Martin, that we liked?
Well, loads of stuff, actually. Yeah. I mean, at the moment, a lot of programmes are clip shows.
Yeah,
so basically, they're trying to find the most creative way to put clips together. I mean, having knocked the BBC a week or two ago about over-plugging Jack Whitehall's Sporting Nation because it was, you know, they were plugging it like every break, it was actually very good. He's a very, quite a charming character, actually, and quite winning. I did enjoy it. You know, they've dealt with different aspects of sport, underdogs, they've dealt with class, and all elements of
British
sport.
It was well written, wasn't it, I thought?
Well, it was well written, and you know, like I say, he's quite an appealing person. He makes the most of him being a posh boy. But it was good. You know, the clips are good, obviously, because, it's the 1985 Steve Davis, Dennis Taylor final, all that sort of stuff. So that was quite good. Another programme making the most of the clips is on Channel 4. Jürgen Klopp, that you can find this on all four. Jürgen Klopp, Germany's greatest export. And again, well, not so much a clip show, more of a Klopp show. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here all week.
We're here all week, weekend.
I'm here all bloody night. Jürgen Klopp, Germany's greatest export, narrowly beating the Ritter Sport chocolate bar. It was quite good. I mean, it was a load of clips, basically, and they managed to get lots of clips for the history of Liverpool, the premise of the programme being that 30 years they never won the championship, and they got it under Klopp. They also got some interesting sponsorship, Erdinger Weissbrau, which I've never seen. Is that a good? Is that a well-known beer?
Well,
Erdinger's nice.
Yeah,
nice,
Jürgen
nice.
Advertises that. Doesn't he? He's a spokesman
does
for
he?
It.
Yeah. Well, they sponsored it. I hadn't heard it. I thought it was one of those sort of faux Germanic beers.
It's the real thing.
It's the real thing, is it? Yeah, Fair enough.
I think you've had a pint of Erdinger, I reckon.
Oh, I've had, yes, and the Weiss beer as well, When it's in Germany, it seems
very quickly
nonsense.
Here, it's fascinating. We all know that the tabloid press hate the BBC and all that, but this is there's a letter from a bloke from Manchester, Ray Burnside. He says, the BBC can afford to give free licence to over 75s, given it pays Gary Lineker $2 million a year to present Match of the Day. Any ex-footballer or decent presenter could do it. And you think, what do you know about it? You're a TV producer. Have you ever done it? You've got no clue at all. It's fascinating the way these people write, as if they know about it. Gary Lineker's a pretty good presenter, I think.
Well, a very good presenter. I actually, if you read my book, I mean, not that I make any money out of my book these days, but there are various copies available from charity shops. Anyway,
it's a good read. I enjoyed it. Very good.
Well, bless you. Bless you.
Sit down and cheer
is the title, but like I say, I make no money from it, so I couldn't care less whether people buy it or not. And the really great clips that were on the show about Jürgen Klopp, Germany's greatest export, were the ones of him doing a quiz show. Have you seen this before? He was Have you seen that? I've never seen those.
I've not seen it before. I saw it this week because of it. I think somebody put it on Twitter, and it was very young Jürgen Klopp, wasn't it?
Very young Jürgen
Klopp. He was playing for Mainz at the time, wasn't he? I think
he wasn't German quiz ball, was it?
No. It wasn't. It was a bit like a sort of 3-2-1 type thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the presenter thought he was funny, and you know, he'd make jokes about Mainz not being Bayern Munich and that sort of thing. Jürgen Klopp showed what the sort of the calm character that he is was taking it all. But one of the rounds of the quiz show was exactly like that Two Ronnies sketch, where you answer the question before, and then it's funny because it's the next question. So they nicked that directly from the Two Ronnies, but they had a sort of like a Ted Rogers type figure presenting the show. Probably one of those presenters you'd love to hate. But it's, you know, the Jürgen Klopp story is a great story anyway, and you know, it's well worth watching. But if I was to recommend one show this week, if you haven't seen it, The Edge, because as you know, I'm not much of an expert on cricket.
No.
But I do recognise the psychological pressures of cricket, and obviously we know there's quite high suicide rate amongst cricketers and all that. You know, we know what the pressure is, but this show really does bring it home to you. You know, if you don't understand cricket.
Well, that's the mark of how good a documentary is. Yeah. If you're not a particularly big cricket fan and it held your attention, then that says a lot, really, doesn't it, Martin, I'd say?
Totally, yeah. That's a great show. It's the one that I would, you know, pull out amongst all others. But certainly, if you want to see Jürgen Klopp playing a quiz show in Germany...
Staubig Mollema.
Pardon?
Staubig Mollema.
Is that his name?
No, it's Dusty Bin in German.
Oh, OK. Oh, it's translated. He puts the work in, Andy, doesn't he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget that the Clips of the Week podcast is available too from where you got this one. But we'll catch up with you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.